Welcome to Nova's Here. My name is Craig Horn. So glad that you have joined us today. But outside of my parents, no one has had more influence in my spiritual growth than our guest today. I'm extremely thankful for almost 20 years of friendship with Greg Williams. Greg is the executive director of Love and Lordship Ministries, based right here in Lexington, and has recently written a book called The Authority of Love. Greg, thanks for being here today with us.
Thank you, G. I appreciate it, man. Can I call you G?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I've been called a lot worse.
So. Yes, I have too.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. Well, I've been blessed through hundreds of conversations with you over the years and have gleaned so much wisdom from you. And I know that you've included a lot of this in this book, The Authority of Love. Why did you decide to write this book?
Well, that's an obvious question, but it's a really good one because, you know, some people just go, I wanted to do it because I felt like I needed to or make some money or whatever. But honestly, probably the last 15 years, I've had no fewer than 100, probably a few hundred people. Whenever I would speak or whenever I'd do a conference or something, the question would be, where are your books? Where are your DVDs or whatever? Because that's what a lot of people do nowadays. And I just kept saying, you know, the Lord just hasn't provided the timing or the resources. But some things happened in conjunction with a conference that we're going to talk about here in a moment as well. And that all kind of brought it together. And I say all that to say this, I really think it was in the Lord's hands all along. I truly believe that. So I was just waiting on Him to prune and prepare me. And of course, Amy, my beautiful wife, is the editor of the book. And so we were able to do that and do it pretty quickly. And I think it was just waiting on and seeking and looking to the Lord and waiting for all those years. And He just brought it about at this time. So I wrote it because the message has resonated with a lot of people, and it's a way that He said, I think it's now time to hopefully reach more.
Well, you title the book, The Authority of Love, and you know the world tells us that love is like what we see in the movies, warm, fuzzy, unicorns, and all that good fun stuff. But you know the Bible has a different definition of love. Can you share what the Bible says love is?
Yeah, and I would even call it's kind of an intriguing. I think the Holy Spirit led us to this title, The Authority of Love. I hope that people will stop and pause and think about that, because I think both of those, authority and love, are all throughout the Scripture, but we don't grasp them very well. I think the simplest definition of love, apart from the one that we hear all the time, as you said, the Walt Disney American Dream version of love, is really just a commitment. I mean, if you could define love, it's not real romantic, and yet it is extremely romantic. You ask anybody that's understood the trust factor of someone that truly made a commitment to them, and you'll see love. And it's no better place defined or modeled or anything else than on the cross. Yeah. That was a commitment in which He said, my Father would send 12 legions of angels if I just ask Him at any moment. So He had a choice to go, well, none of this feels good. So since we're the authors, and that's a key word, why don't we just bow out of this? You know, Father, why don't we just stop, because this not feeling good at all? This must not be love. And He said, no, that's not what love is. It has good and bad emotions attached with it. But love itself is the commitment, the faithfulness, and you keep it.
Well, one of the words that you share with me in our numerous conversations over the years is the word obedience. Talk about that in love.
Well, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will, depending on your translation, you will keep or obey my commands. Jesus said, Jesus didn't say, if you love me, you will feel good about me. He didn't say, if you love me, everything's going to work out okay. He says, if you love me, then you're going to believe in me enough and my authority, literally, the commands I give you. I've said this recently. The Lord's laid on my heart, really resonated with a lot of people, and it goes with your question. There are hundreds of commands in Scripture, but there are no demands. Mm. And I had a guy at one of the facilities I teach at regularly, an addiction facility, and he said, man, Greg, I really like that, but I'm not sure of the difference. I said, commands come from a loving authority that says the only way this works is if you choose to walk in my commands, if you choose to obey me, I will not make you. Demands come from a tyrannical force, the tyrant that says, if you won't do it, I'll make you do it. You don't have love in that. So if you love me, you will willingly submit and choose to keep my commands. That's love.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, you know, a lot of times the world says, you know, it's 50-50 in a relationship and give and take. But I like your definition. It's a little bit different on that percentage quotient. Talk to us about how you describe it, I know, in your book.
Well, you said it's really simple. You can't get much simpler. You're right. Love is not give and take. It looks like it to the world, and so the enemy confuses us with that, because if both people are truly loving, they're both simply giving, and they do it without expectation. So the simple definition is give 100%, expect zero. And that's the cross. That's why there's no demands. He said, I'm going to give my all for you. I'm going to leave heaven, empty myself of all that glory. I'm going to come to earth as a man, and I'm going to die a humiliating criminal's death on the cross. And your response is yours. It's not mine. I can't force you to do it, or there is no love. So I will not expect you, but I can tell you the only way this is going to work is if you willingly submit to me and choose me as Savior and Lord. Now, some people will go, well, wait a minute. How do we do this then? Because I do have expectations. They're going to be there. And I go, maybe the better word is back to demands. I give completely and fully of myself. And then I go, okay, would be nice if this happened. But when it doesn't happen, when they don't meet my expectations or anyone else, then I don't define them, and I don't define myself, and I don't define the relationship by the unmet expectations. I continue to give and love. That's what it means to give 100% and expect zero. I don't let it define it. I just continue to give, and that's what Christ did for me.
Well, speaking of expectations, I think I have a story in the book. You don't quote me as the person it was, but it was
We're going to give it away here now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can buy it and get a good laugh at my expense, but he protects my name in the book. But talk a little bit about love and expectations, because so many times we think we're loving, but we tie it in with some expectations sometimes, don't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I said we're human beings, so we have them. So that's why I went back and rephrased that a bit. I want people to understand the simplicity of it in just explaining it, but also the difficulty of it in living it. In other words, give 100%, expect zero. Go, wait a minute, I can't do that because I still have expectations. Right. What are you going to do then when the other person doesn't meet it? And I say two things, and I'll get to your story. First thing I say is, who's playing God if you have expectations and you define the other person by how they don't meet them? You are. You're playing God. You're going, this didn't work out because you didn't meet my expectations. And that's not, God himself didn't even do it that way. So we shouldn't do it that way. I think you're referring to Who'd You Buy the Roses For?
Yeah, right.
Thank you, by the way, for reviewing the book. Greg was one of the reviewers, and so I appreciate that. How much of you want me to tell?
No, you can tell the whole thing.
Well, I'll tell it. Okay. It's really good, and he's actually shared himself, I think, right? Greg was after a difficult divorce and was rebounding and was dating a young lady. She was a single mom. We'll just leave it at that. And I think there was a week where she said, you all had seen each other quite a bit, right? Almost every day for a while. And she said, we can't do anything this week because I have some testing to do as a teacher. And so you showed up on Tuesday night, I believe it was, right? Sunday night was the night you showed up on Tuesday night, and you had a dozen roses, knocked on the door, and she almost said, what are you doing here? And you pulled them out, I think, from behind your back and said, hey, just thinking about you, praying for you, and want you to know, hope everything's going well. And you gave her the roses and said, hope you finish a great week, and walked away. So on Friday, you showed up again, correct? Isn't that right?
I think it's how it
is. Yeah, I think on Friday you showed up again and knocked on the door, and she said, hi, what are you doing here? And you said, well, we've been going out now for a couple of months pretty regularly. I know this was a crazy week, but it's over, and I figured we'd just go out again. She goes, did we set anything up? And you go, no, I just expected it to happen. She goes, well, I haven't had any time with my child either. I'll just leave it at that. Don't want to give too much away anonymously. But I haven't had much time with my child, and I told my child that we would go out and do something this evening. Right. And so that next week when we met, as we often do, to do some iron sharpening, you were a bit miffed, I believe, right? You're a bit miffed. And
that's a kind word.
Yeah, a bit miffed, and you're going, like, I can't believe she did that, and understanding all that. And, you know, the whole thing we're talking about here is love without expectations. We have them, but how do we handle them? That's the key. And so the Holy Spirit, I think, really laid the question on my heart, because I've used it with many people and it's really gotten through. So the Lord uses us when we do that with each other. And so I just looked at G and I said, "Hey, brother, who did you buy the roses for?" And kind of stopped you in your tracks, and you looked at me and go, "Bought them for her." And I go, "No, who did you buy the roses for?" And you kind of paused a little bit, kind of softened a little bit, if I remember correctly. And then I go, "Well, I bought them for her." And I go, "Let me ask one more time. Who did you really buy the roses for?" And you pause for a little bit and you go, "I really bought them for me, didn't I?" Yeah, and I go, "That's it. Now we're getting it," because you fully expected that your act of love on Tuesday night of bringing roses would be reciprocated by her, but she had other plans. And when they didn't meet your expectations, you kind of got miffed about it. So that really was a great, because I learned from it too. I think the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. So yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about.
I do want to say, for my own defense, that's been over 15 years ago,
so
I've grown and matured a little, but yeah. It is true, the expectations that people have, and then insecurity sometimes, people especially dating, so that's why I wanted to bring that story up. So a very good learning lesson for me on that. Yeah. Well,
me too. By the way, I learned it too. So
yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, we all do. And I know that we're not going to be able to get a lot in detail, but I just want to ask you, we talk about some of the marriage problems, and you do a lot of counseling. I've referred a lot of couples to you through my ministry responsibilities, and you've helped a lot of people, because I think you do such a great job of truth in love, and the Bible talks about that, not just truth, but truth in love. But what are maybe the top three causes of marriage problems that you've seen through the hundreds of couples you met with over the past 20 years?
Well, that's a great question, G, because what I think happens is, even in the best marriage books, so often they simply list the practical, physical, mental, emotional problems that are coming, and they're usually sex, money, and communication. Now, somewhere or another, those three are going to show up. It might be rooted in finances. That's money. It might be rooted in in-laws or outlaws. Not that any of us have the problem with that, but, and I don't. So I'm not saying that. I have great in-laws. But, and so does my wife. But but here's the interesting thing. And this is what's different about The Authority of Love, our book. What I found years ago was that when we jump in and try and begin to address the three greatest problems, or whatever a couple's or an individual's problems are, we've completely missed the foundational problem. James 4:1 says, where do the quarrels, the dissensions, the arguments, the fightings, where do they come from? And I'm paraphrasing here, but not out of context. It doesn't say they come from that other person, your partner or your spouse's selfish intentions. It says they come from the selfish desires in your own heart. And most people don't ever begin there. They begin by, how can we communicate a little better? How can we schedule sex and have better sex? Or how can we do a budget for our finances? But if the heart doesn't change, every single time, it will show up again, either in the same problems or in a different problem, because they practically walk through that one and they at least know how to work through it, even if they haven't completely solved it. So the number one problem I found is that there are so many people out there who are calling themselves Christians, and that's not my call. I'm not the judge. But they do not know Christ as Lord.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but man, you don't want to miss. We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking with Greg Williams. He has just written a new book called The Authority of Love. I want to encourage you to check out their website and get a copy of that. Go to loveandlordship.com. That's loveandlordship.com. Join us again tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Greg Williams on Hope is Here.
If you have been blessed by Hope is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.